It's good to see everybody. Hope everyone's enjoying the summer weather. Be'ezrat Hashem. I haven't quite decided to change my title to Summer 2023 yet, because, you know, it's still May, but for now it's beautiful. I just want to thank our sponsors for the Shiurim. The Shiurim for the whole year are sponsored anonymously Le'ilu Nishmos, Brana Bas Brandit and Zeli Ben Kalman, Zecher Tzadikim Levracha, and we're very grateful for that. And today, specifically, the Shirim are sponsored, May the 17th. All the Shirim are sponsored in memory of Chaim Moshe Ben David, which is Mr. Henry Boschner, whose yahrzeit was a couple of days ago. Very grateful for that sponsorship. It should be an aliyah for the neshama, please God. And if I could ask you please to turn off your phones, as I always do. For the last few weeks, actually, I think we've managed to get away without any jingling. I don't want to, you know, tempt anything, but it's a mistake to say that. We'll now have a cacophony of sounds. Okay, let's have a look at this issue. Now, last week, did you get a sheet? Oh, she's making some more? Okay, so they're making a few more sheets, so please God they'll have them in a few minutes. Last week, we started looking at an issue, the issue of Beged Ish and Beged Isha, which I think you'll probably remember was a rather complicated limud, which combined objective parameters of certain things which were intrinsically masculine or intrinsically feminine, and some subjectivity which depended on societal norms, and there were different poskim. Some went down the route of, well, it's partly objective, partly subjective, and others went down a very much more, everything pretty much is subjective depending on the society. And we talked a little bit about what is society, who do we use to define this, is it the non-Jewish society, the Jewish society, etc. I'm obviously not going to go through all of those again, but I'd like to turn our attention today to the very popular, in the sense that I get asked about this a lot, I don't know if it means it's popular or unpopular, issue of trousers and pants for women. Now, I have a major caveat to say at the beginning of this year, which is that, as you may know, I just wrote a new book. This is not a pitch, this is a caveat. Although the book is available for sale, this is a pitch. If anybody hasn't got it yet, the book is available for sale here. And one of the main platforms of the new book, which says here, Reclaiming Dignity, A Guide to Tzniut for Men and Women, one of the platforms, number one, is to turn the focus away from women only on this topic to men. And there'll be a little bit of a discussion about men today. But a major platform of the book is to turn the focus away from dress and dress code, which has been a massive over-focus, I think, or entire focus of these issues. So I make a caveat that although the book is strongly focused on that, and out of 638 pages in the book, only, sorry, I don't want to put you off, you can still buy one, you can read it over time, you know, installments, out of 638 pages, only six deals specifically with the detailed parameters of women's clothing, which I'm quite happy with that ratio. It means 99% of the book literally is talking about something else. Having said all of that, today's class will be very specifically about this issue. So I don't want you to think that's the only focus, but today we are talking about a clothing issue, and we are largely, although not entirely, talking about women. Okay, fine. With that caveat out of the way, let's have a look at the sheet. A little bit of a review. And I've reviewed it, bringing sources mostly that I didn't bring last week, because in case you felt shortchanged in any way that you've been given the same source 2 weeks running, I wanted to give you something else. So let's start with the pasuk we did have last week. Lo yiyech li gever al isha. So a woman may not have a kli gever, a male kli, accoutrement, utensil, clothing. We talked about that last week on her. Lo yilbash gever simlat isha. And a man may not wear the dress or clothing of a woman. Ki to'avat Hashem Elokecha kol oseh eli. Because this is a to'iva. And we talked about this last week. A to'iva is something bad. Clearly, it's something which is corrupted in some way. That is a description or a reason for this mitzvah. We talked at length last week, is that a condition of this mitzvah? We'll see that again today. Meaning, if you are wearing the other gender's clothing, but for reasons very clearly which are not to'eva, they are not to mingle, they are not to look like the opposite sex, they are not to lead to some kind of promiscuity, but they're very practical, such as we said last week, I need to wear, a woman needs to wear a man's sweater to keep warm, or I need to carry my wife's umbrella to keep off the rain. And today we'll talk about ski pants, Ski pants are worn not because women want to look fashionable and like men, but because they are the most practical way to fall down a ski slope, honestly, which is what I normally do when I'm skiing most of the time. And that's their role for functionality. Or scrubs in a hospital, which are not worn in order to look like a man, but are worn in order to maintain sterility, etc. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So that's the Toeva angle, which is very important. It will come back. But here's a source we didn't see last week. Number two, says the Chinuch, Misharashei HaMitzvah, the roots of, or from, or one of the roots of this mitzvah is Laharchik Mi'imoteinu HaKadosha Dava Erva, to try and keep sort of something which is unseemly, something private which has been exposed, some kind of vulgarity away from our people. Ve'ein safik, and there's no question, ki im yihya mabushe anashim v'anashim shavim, if we had unisex clothes for men and women, yitarvu elu im elu tamid umala arkala v'haaretz zima, that people would mix with each other and there'd be a lot of promiscuity in the land. Now, I brought that for a reason, that he seems to feel there's a problem with unisex clothes. If men and women had the same clothing, oy vavoy, that would be terrible. We'll see soon that Rav Avadya Yosef explicitly negates that svara in halacha. He says, no, actually, unisex clothing is not a problem. Once something halachically becomes unisex, it cannot be beged ish anymore. Beged ish means specifically male clothing being worn by a woman. Once it's unisex, and certainly once it's woman's clothing, it's not going to be an issue. So I brought that just to raise that issue as well. The Rambam paskens the halacha number three. We did see this last week. Loitada isha adeh ish. A woman may not wear the accoutrements of a man. Kagoin. Shetasim barosha mitznefet. She wears a turban, a male turban, or kavar, or a hat. Or tilbas shirion, or she puts on armor, or kiyotzevo, or anything like that. Or she tigaleach roshok ki'ish, or she has a male haircut. V'loita ade isha ade isha, and a man may not have women's accoutrements on him. Kagoin she ilbash bigdei tzivoinim, he wears colored clothing. V'chali zahav, and bracelets of gold. B'mokam she'ein loishin oisam hakelim, but that's only in a place where people don't wear these things. These bracelets are only worn elanoshit by women. Hakol kaminag hamadina. Everything follows the local custom. If men wear jewelry in some places, fine. If it's male jewelry or jewelry that men wear, fine. But if it's specifically women's clothing or male clothing, it cannot be worn by the other. Now, here's an interesting Rashba. The Rashba number four spells this out. We didn't see this last time, but it's still by way of our, if you like, catch up. Says the Rashba as follows. Ki chein nahagu, here you get an insight into what men were wearing in 13th century Spain. Here we are. Ki chein nahagu kam. The minhag here in Spain. The Rashba, if I'm not wrong, was in Barcelona. He was in Barcelona, somewhere around there. Shebigdei pishtan, when it comes to cotton clothes, or bigdei semegefen and cotton clothes, ein ha'anashim loishin oisat tzvoinim, tzvoinim rather. Men don't, semegefen is cotton though. Seme is wool, but semegefen is cotton. Okay, no problem. When it comes to linen and cotton, men don't wear colors. They wear white. They wear white clothes. I assume they were white. Aval big day kalach, that's a kind of wool. U big day meshi and silk. U big day milats and fine wool. Loishin oisa gvarim tzvuim. They do wear clothes which are coloured. Interesting. They depended on the material. Silk and cotton, no colours. Wool, yes colours. Okay? You think it's summer clothes and winter clothes? Meaning maybe, you could do a PhD on this. Did that lend itself to the dyeing industry, that wool was more easily dyed than cotton? I don't know, I'm just guessing there. Maybe it's summer or winter. It sounds like linen would be in the summer, wool would be in the winter, etc. And men wear any kind of colours, lots of different kinds of colours, as long as it's made of wool. Lefikach, therefore, mutar lahem lilbosh me'elu kifi minhag hazman v'hamakom. And therefore, men are allowed to wear all of these coloured clothes according to the minhag and the place. Ve'im hayazman, and if there were to come a time, he said, or makom, or a place, she'ein regilim be'elu, that men don't wear these coloured wool clothes, gam kein elu hayasurim lahem, then they would also become prohibited. And similarly, there are certain minhagim here of what men and women wear. Ubemakoris acherim, and in other places, minhag acher. There are different minhagim. Kol ha'asurbo k'minhagoi v'ha'hetzebo k'minhagoi. Everything follows the minhag, either this or that. Ki lo siem lanu kli geva v'simlat isha el lefi ha'minhagos behem. And this is important, because the halacha can only be definitive in this broader subjective sense. You cannot legislate in the Gemara for what men will wear and what men won't wear, and women ditto for all time to come and in all places. Therefore, Chazal created a much more subjective classification in order to give it teeth. Otherwise, it's meaningless. So actually, this is a brilliant way of looking at halacha, and unusual. We don't say that about eating matzah or keeping kosher or keeping Shabbos. Everything depends on what people do. But here, you have to say this, otherwise the halacha is meaningless. As I said last week, if I walked around dressed like Moshe Rabbeinu, they'd probably arrest me in short order. And quite reasonably, because that's not how people dress today. Now, okay, so what about pants? All that is by way of a catch-up from last week. What about pants for women? When did women start wearing pants? And for the English amongst us, I will occasionally say trousers. I was very disappointed when they translated Harry Potter from English into American. They felt the need to take out the word trousers and put in the word pants. I would have thought you could assume that young people would be able to translate at least. And I think the Americans do use the word trousers every now and then. So we're going to use both to keep as many people happy as we can. So I brought you a piece from, you know, Britannica number 5. I'm not going to read it through. You can look in your own time at when women's fashions changed. Basically in the 20th century, largely as a product of the First World War, when women were drafted into doing things which were much more practical, factory work, land work, and certainly the Second World War. My grandmother has I have a picture of my grandmother in the land army in the 1940s. My grandmother always wore skirts at that time in the land army. She's wearing her trousers because she's doing the work, whatever. That's when the shifts happened. What I found particularly fascinating, I put in the note, I quoted from a book that I saw quoted, which was the real change of women's fashion into pants in the 60s and early 70s came because of the French fashion houses' obsession with the miniskirt. Meaning the French declared war on the wardrobe, or they almost had like a line like that, and said that as far as we're concerned, skirts will now have to be extremely short. And for a lot of women, this left them in a real quandary. Because on the one hand, they wanted to wear a skirt, but their choice was then to wear either a skirt which was very unfashionable, or a skirt in which they felt ridiculous. And therefore, there was a move to pants and pantsuits, etc., and slacks, as they used to call them back in the day, simply because, or one of the reasons, it wasn't because of feminism, it wasn't because of practicality, it was because of this fashion industry's move into the miniskirt, which is fascinating. Again, I'm not an expert in this area, but that rings true to me. So, Lemaisa, practically speaking, in the non-Jewish world out there, many, many women, I don't know about numbers, I would venture most women probably wear pants most of the time. Therefore, how does this impact on halacha? Based on what we've said so far, that should render it permitted, because that is clearly the minhag. Unless we say, like we quoted from the Prisha, that you cannot bring the custom from non-Jewish society, you have to bring it from religious Jewish society, in which case that's a no-brainer, because most of religious Jewish society does not wear pants. But let's have a look at number 6. Let's start with the Rav Avad Yosef. Rav Avad Yosef has a long tshuva on this, and he says as follows. Mikol Mokom, Nirili, number 6. Oh, he quotes this Rashba that we just quoted, which is that everything goes according to the minhag. We cannot be machmir, he is not machmir rather, on these issues. Shaving off body hair. On that he is machmir. We didn't talk about that this week, but we did last week. Because he says that's objectively feminine. Because only women are interested in that level of personal grooming. And we talked about that last week, whether that's true and how that works today with men. Masha'en came by Ma'abushim, but when it comes to clothing, he's very clear that everything is subjective. Gam hu yada, he admits, he accepts. The loy shaykh is a zeh ela bebeged hamayuchad la'anashim bilvad. Women would only be prohibited to wear specifically male clothes. All anashim bilvad, or the other way, men to wear women's clothes. Halav hachi, but if that's not the case, there is no prohibition. He's going to say in a minute he's not happy for other reasons. It's absolutely widespread in today's world. Women wear trousers. Women wear pants. And clearly he's not talking about observant Jewish women. He's talking about societal women in the non-Jewish world. There is no problem anymore in terms of beged ish. Because these trousers are not specific to men. All the more so, there is actually a very clear distinction between men's pants and women's pants are different. Okay? And therefore, even more so, not only are pants unisex, but women wear women's pants. And therefore, you cannot make a case, he said, that's absolutely clear. You cannot say that there's a beged ish problem anymore. And then he says, a little bit in the second paragraph, that women, he quotes, that women used to wear in a shirt, which was a unisex shirt that men and women wore, which had like a belt tied around it, like an open top shirt. And he says, no one had a problem with that back in the day. And clearly that wasn't an issue there. So too here, where it's clear, even if it were unisex, it would be fine. But where it's clearly women's clothing, it is not a problem to wear it. He said, no, he didn't say that. He said, it's not a problem because of beged ish. Okay, we'll get to what he thinks is a problem. Although he says at the end, even a unisex clothing, there may be a midat chasidut. There are opinions that don't like unisex clothing. We saw that in the Chinuch. So if you want to be extra machmir, I said, so don't wear unisex clothing. Just wear women's clothing. But he said in this case, the pants that women wear are women's pants. They're not unisex or male pants. However, he's going to say in a minute, he has other reasons to be unhappy. We'll get to him in a second. So that's the mainstream position. The vast majority of poskim take the position that women's pants are not prohibited because of beged ish. Why are they? We'll see in a minute. However, there is a minority, a significant minority. I brought here Dan Weiss from the Minchas Yitzchak, source number 7. I quoted also the Tzitz Eliezer, the Shevet Halevi. Look at what Dan Weiss says. He's not happy. Mizman Rav Nichnas Moda. There is a new fashion that has come in, quite a while. I don't know when this was written. I'm guessing 70s. Okay, 1970s. B'shem slacks. And they call them slacks. V'hen kamo michnasayim. They're like trousers. Aval yesh chiluk ba'isim shenazu miyuchel anashim. But women have different slacks than men. Sheheima bekamat tzvaim. They're in different colors, kudame, etc. She'ein anashim loyshim asam klal. And men wouldn't wear those women's slacks. Ha'im yesh isa bezeh kevan sheheim domim lemichnasayim. Are they a problem because they are like trousers? Or mipnei shebetchila begadim, or are they a problem because originally when they came in, Koyotzeb said, trousers like this, nilbashim rakla anashim, were only worn by men. Yes.
Would they say it was a problem to wear
under skirt again? Oh, we haven't, no. He's not talking about under skirt. That would be like kind of glorified stockings. And I brought you a footnote later on, Rav David Stav, I'll make a plug for this now, Rav David Stav and Rav Abraham Stav, father and son team, wrote a wonderful book called Avot Beitecha on Inyanei Tzniut. It's actually a series. It's only in Hebrew, so I'm afraid you're going to have to plow through it in Hebrew. But they bring in many of the modern realities of Israel, which are, number one, that a lot more women wear pants in Israel who are identifying as observant than I think in America and England. And a lot more people have this kind of skirt on top and pants underneath it. And he talks about that at length. I referred you to him. I'm not going to get into it in detail, but he talks about that. So let's see what he says. Minchas Yitzchak, the fourth line, number 7. Hine, ein din ze tzarech boshesh. You don't have to be embarrassed to say that this is completely awesome to have a iser gomor. He holds that there is an objective prohibition that a woman may never put pants on. The chutz mizeh de bigdei shachas, Kalu. Even though these are disgraceful clothes. He doesn't define why they're disgraceful clothes, but this is he sees this as a kind of rebellion. I think what's going on here is there was an element of pants which was part of the egalitarian agenda. Not everybody wore pants because of the other options were less desirable. Some people wore pants to make a point, especially in the 19th century, where women wearing pants was a major statement. It was, you know, votes for women, pants for women, that kind of thing. There was a lot going on. I think he's referring back to that. They're disgraceful clothes. And nasim mitchil ala aveira, and they were originally worn by people for the purposes of aveira, for rebellion, maybe for beged ish. They're having big day zima, and they're also unseemly sexually. We'll see what his problem might be. Oh, here's the word. I think this is exactly what the Pasuk was talking about when it said to'eva. It's disgraceful. Even if you go with Rav Avadia, he said, that it's not beged-ish. They're still called a to'eva because of all the other associations, which is interesting. That's more of a hashkafic point than a halachic point. Odd, and in fact, he says, Be'emes heima bichlal kliva, and I think they are kligeva mamash. Trousers are objectively prohibited. He sees this as one of the objectively male things. Da'adayin shem michnazayim alein, because they're still called pants. Whatever you want to say, they're pink, they're purple, they're still called pants. V'hagam sheheim meshunim ksas, even if they're different from male, mikol makam shemam aleihem, they have a designation. Now, according to this approach, all pants will be prohibited. Pajama pants will be prohibited for a woman as well. Pants on small children will be prohibited because they're objectively awesome, because they have a designation as intrinsically prohibited. Now, this is the minority approach. According to the majority approach, the only problem with them we'll see, we haven't seen yet a problem with them, we'll see other things, but they're not begid isha. Once they're not begid isha, then the gate opens to possibilities of, well, why wouldn't you put them on a small child? You don't have to dress a small child in a way which adults dress. You just can't make them do an aveira. So Rav Weiss says, it's an aveira. So other people say, it's not an aveira. So you can have a kid wearing pants up to whatever age you feel that a child has to dress in the way that an adult would dress religiously, which the Chazon Ish says around 7, 8, whatever, when they present as a small kind of woman rather than a child. But according to this, it will be much more prohibited. Yes?
Is this the Manchester Dime?
Yes, this was the Manchester Dime Weiss, who later became the head of the Eidah Haredis. So he was something of a hardliner. But on this issue, he goes with the objective approach, not the subjective. Okay, so Rav Avadia said, not an issue for Begedish. So what's his problem? But he goes on. Number 8. Mikol makom. Oh, by the way, just before we finish with number 7, this is why in certain circles, it's not even a discussion as to whether you can wear pajama pants or, because it's just objectively wrong. It's like eating pork, basically. But that's not the majority approach. The majority approach holds that it's not an issue of begedish. Number 8. Says Rav Avadia, however, mikol makom, maybe ani. However, I've got to say this. It's not a begedish problem, but it's another problem. She'ein lahati kan lechatchila levishat miknasayim. I don't think you can just give a heter for women to wear pants. Ela lebanot ki big. Sorry, miknasayim ela lebanot. You can't let women wear these kind of pants. Ki big de shachatheim. He uses this expression again. He feels that they're pretty disgraceful, but he says why. Because when people look at them, they attract attention much more. More than a regular skirt would. Now this is a very famous tshuva, because he also goes through this tshuva on the radio. Rav Avadia had a radio show in the 1970s. I wasn't listening to it at that point. They used to ask people to send in questions. And he used to just reel off basically tshuvas without having prepared them by heart. There's, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sources, and the DJ will be saying, I just want to tell you that Rav Avadia didn't get this in advance, and he doesn't have any books here, etc. And this was one of the things that he said, where he basically was asked a question that the Rav doesn't want to be asked. He wasn't asked, is it permitted to wear pants? He was asked, what's better, pants or a miniskirt? Okay, so what are you going to say? What are you going to say? Because you pants or a miniskirt? So there's no way to answer that question. What's better? You can say what's less bad. It's a bit like asking a policeman, what should I do? Drive without a license or drive when I've been drinking? You tell me what's better. Okay. Well, you're not going to get an answer on that. So, but he's saying, I think there's a problem because they attract attention. Second line, and they also arouse negative feelings in men, or positive as far as they're concerned, but negative halachically. And again, don't get me wrong, the book makes a big statement that lifnei iver, meaning women causing men to do averas, is not the basis of Hilchos Sneas. That is not, it is an aspect, it is an element, but let's not forget that the Gemara says very clearly, if a man looks at a woman's little finger with improper thoughts, then that's a serious problem for him. But women don't have to walk around wearing gloves in case men explode by looking at their little fingers. Men are responsible for their own thoughts and their own eyes, but everybody is responsible to not cause other people to do things which are not good for them. Yes?
Does anyone deal with not miniskirts or pants, but tight dresses?
Yes, yes, it's going to, we'll talk, yeah, 100%. Again, I don't want to get backed into a corner talking about all these things, because again, I think this is the area at Sneod which actually men should not be talking about. There's other things which men should be talking about in Sneod, but no question about it, that's part of it, and we'll talk about that soon. He says as follows, where are we? Yes, second line. And good from Jewish girls shouldn't be wearing these pants. And we're certainly talking about tight pants here. It leaves nothing to the imagination, he says. It's very much attracting of people's improper attentions. Avdi, he quotes Rav Avadi Hadaya, that also doesn't like these because of the tightness. Okay? Certainly tight pants. Not having any of that. Shehumalbush parua parutz. This is not acceptable at all. It's pritzut. Or maybe they hear hurmaniyaf and it leads to negative things. Or beprab bismanaz that she'ein gedem achitzas bein habachurim b'chmachorot. Especially today when all the boys and the girls are all mixed together. Va'alul adav lahavidei miufazima. And it's going to cause improper interactions. Okay, so he's not happy with tight pants. Having said that, many poskim are not happy with tight pants for men. And I brought you a tshuva here that deals with this explicitly in number 9, where he talks about the pants of the Kohanim. I think my mic just went off. Hello? No, it didn't go off. Just a little bit quieter. Okay, fine. You can still hear me okay?
Yeah.
Fine. So have a look at what he says here in the Olas Yitzchak. He says here, Ubehed Yisra B'Pesikta Zutrati. He quotes from the Pesikta, the Rabbi Tovia Hanikra Lekach Tov. This Sefer Lekach Tov, Sheheviu Mimenu Rabbeisenu, HaPoiskim Harbe Mekoimus, and the Poiskim quote from this, V'Hayekodem HaRambam, it was before the Rambam. V'ze Loshon B'Pershes Tetzaveh, Tetzaveh, of course, is where we see the big day, Kohuna. Asei Lehem Michnasei Vad. Now, underwear was not known at all in the ancient world. It was not something that regular people wore. The Kohanim had to wear it. There was an intense desexualization of the Avoda. And that was perhaps a response to pagan worship, which was heavily sexualized in the ancient world. Men and priestesses and priests all doing their thing in the pagan world. If you think about it, in the Beis HaMikdash, you only have men, which automatically takes out a whole sexual element to the worship. And the men have to be incredibly tsanua and even wear pants, even when men didn't normally wear pants. Okay, Selahem nichasei bad. Look at derech shalanu, but they're not like our pants. He says here, ki elut sarim belivishatam. Our pants are much tighter, varukim, and they're longer. Veshal kohenim hayu rechavot ktsarim, but the kohenims were looser and shorter. Then go over to the second paragraph. He says mikol makom boru shit sarim de ka'ama. When he says that the pants that he's talking about are not tight, are too tight, he says he didn't mean really tight. Like men wear today. So if you're going to start talking about tight pants, he says, you have to talk about men as well. And this is something actually a number of women have raised with me. Why don't people talk to men about what they're wearing? You know, walking around the mall wearing cycle shorts that are perfectly decent for a cycle race, but are not necessarily the same for walking around the mall for 3 hours and shopping. And this is all part of the lack of focus of men on Sneod. And just to show you that this is also dealt with in the poskim, you shouldn't think this is an issue specifically for women. But Rav Avadia, as I said, has a problem. Because he wasn't asked, are pants okay? He was asked, what's better? So look how he deals with this. He deals with this a very beautiful chinuch message number 10. Umikol Markham, im ein habanot shumot, if the women are not going to listen, okay, even though he had a very popular radio show, if the women are not going to listen, lekol horimumorim, to the voice of their parents, of their teachers, limana melevishet chatzait ktsarot biyoter, and the women are not going to listen, and if they're going to wear very short skirts, and they're going to go around wearing skirts which are very revealing. So he preaches Yesera, because this is even worse. You should choose the lesser of two evils. You should give them a temporary psak, Lilvosh Michnasayim, that they're better off wearing trousers than they are wearing a short skirt. V'damin, he brings a source for this in Sota, a very interesting Gemara in Sota. Sota says, Zamri Gavri V'ani Nashi Pritzusa. If the men are singing and the women are responding, then that's Pritzut. Pritzut means it's not appropriate. What's going on here? I think this is some kind of drinking song where the men are giving the main refrain, you know, dum da da dum da da dum da da dum or whatever, and the women are listening and they're kind of chipping in with a da 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 or something like that. Okay? But however, Zamri Nashi, when the women are singing, the Ani Gavri, and the men are responding, Ka'esh Benaro, that's like a burning flame burning up your field. That's even worse. So the Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina. Why are you telling me that this is worse than that? They're both wrong. Why are you telling me this is wrong and this is more wrong? Says the Gemara, Libituli Hamikameha. Because if you need to fight one, you have to choose your battles. You should choose your battle for the one which is worse and not the one which is less bad. And Rashi explains there, Perish Rashi, Im Ein Shomim Lanu Levatel Shneim. If people won't listen to stop both of them, okay, Nagdim Levatel Et Ze, we should go first to get rid of the first one, Shehu Ke'esh Menorah, which is even worse, he says. And therefore, he says, I feel this is a battle that we have to choose. I wish we could stop both, but we're not going to stop both. And you have to have Chochmah. You can't approach these things in a way which is naive. You have to understand what's going on. Okay, so that's the famous Pesach of Rav Avadia. Yes, sir.
Okay, but let's say Shabbat. Okay, people. I remember, like, growing up in a Jewish neighborhood, and then in the '70s and eighties, a group of sociologically went out to the suburbs.
Yes.
And the conservative movement gave them permission to
drive on Shabbos.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
So this is interesting. The doctor here, there seems to be, I'm just reflecting.
It is interesting.
More openness than you would say about kosher food.
Correct.
Touching your wife when she's in need.
Correct. It is very interesting. Well, first of all, he has a source for it in the Gemara, and the Gemara deals with exactly this.
Responding to some pressure to do it.
Correct, but he's basing it. The Gemara says this is bad, and this is even worse. Then you fight the one that is even worse before you instead of fighting the one which is just bad. So he's clearly basing it off a source. He's not making that up. The question is, what's going on here? It could be that with all of these issues, there's a higher level of subjectivity. Like we said, this is the subject of these shiurim. We're not here dealing with the same kind of halakha as, you know, how big does a matzah have to be when you eat it. It's not the same type of halakha. And therefore, I'm not saying that it's totally subjective, people can do what they like, but it's a different form. Imagine comparing it to kibud av v'em. You know, which is the best way to speak to your parents? Well, this is wrong, and this is even worse. So which one should you do? So you're not going to say, don't speak to your parents. You're going to say, okay, if you can't do this, then do this.
But how about studies that have shown that once you've gone to there's no male and female dressing.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
I'm not getting into all sorts of, you're 100% right. It's complicated. One of the chapters in the book deals with the issue of habituation and subjectivity. To one extent, do we turn around and say, this is actually a very important question, well, we're more used to seeing certain things now, so they're less problematic for us than they used to be back in the old days. Is that a valid argument or is it not? And if it is, how far does it go? So let me give you an interesting example. The Aruch HaShulchan has a very famous psak, which the Mishnah Berurah strongly disagrees with, where he says, even though women, he says, have a halakha, that when they're married, they have to cover their hair, since so many women around us, he says, do not cover the hair, and he doesn't justify that, he says, we're so used to that now, that enables us to say brachot and daven, etc., even though those people are not covering their hair, which would have been prohibited otherwise. Because we're used to it, it doesn't affect us in the same way. And Rav Avadia says, well, can you say that about Kol Isha? Maybe the same about Kol Isha. We're used to hearing women, so we don't have a problem in it. He says, no, you can't say that. So how can you say that here, but you don't say that there? It's a similar kind of, and where are those lines? And is all Kol Isha the same? Is going to a Broadway show the same as listening to a chayal or a female soldier singing the Yom HaZikaron service? It's not the same. One's a Broadway show, and one is somebody singing a sad song at it, but it's all Kol Isha. In these areas, you have to draw these very difficult lines. That's one of the reasons why I find this so fascinating, and you have to have broad shoulders for exactly the reason that you said. Okay, let's move on. Yes, sir.
I have a concern about some of this, like how a woman dresses, whether it's in a miniskirt or slacks. why is it on her to not wear that? I mean, the man shouldn't be looking. Why?
Correct. 100%. That's what I said. It's not. There's two different things going on here. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring this, because this is some of the stuff we discuss in the book. There are two separate things. There's his halachas and there's her halachas. His halachas is to look where he's meant to look and not where he's not meant to look. But her halachas is to dress in a way which is tsanua. The question is, how do you define that? That's not his halacha, that's her halacha. And we need to define that in a way which Big Beginish is part of it, but maybe here is not the same part of it. And we're going to have to get to a more, a clearer definition of tsniut, which is one of the reasons I wanted to bring this, because my mind is on, you know, these inyanim at the moment with the book. Let's have a look on page 4. Let's deal with this quite quickly. There is another issue which is raised, which is fascinating, which is, again, a transferal of a halacha from one area into another. Look at number 11. This is the Tzitz Eliezer. The essence of these clothes, he's talking about pants for men, they're very, you know, they look very clearly different. And again, he talks about it. It's a disgrace. And there's a promiscuity to them, in his view. Again, you may turn around and say, that's not how pants are today, but he says that to start with. Which is a pasuk from Yeshayahu, that they talks about the women doing things with their legs, which are inappropriate there. And then he says, "Pisuk haraglaim de minkri v'havlatat machzas amivne gufam rachman letzan." And he has this concern that there's something intrinsically wrong with the two legs of the trousers. Well, where is he coming from? This pisuk raglaim. Why is that a problem, that a skirt is better, but the trousers, the pants are worse? And this is a very interesting idea, because it's not altogether pashut that this is a halachic concept which is brought in this area. Where does this come from? Look in number 12. It's completely different. The Torah is talking about the halachas of a zav and a zava. A zav and a zava are both people who are avot ha-tumah. There's something going on with their bodies. There's a tumah coming out of them that makes them tameh. And it says in number 12, V'kol ha-markev asher yirkav alav ha-zav yitzma. A zav has a very unusual halacha. That normally when somebody is tameh and they touch something, the thing they touch goes to a level lower in tumah. But a zav, this man who has this discharge which is happening in from his body, when he sits on a saddle, says when he sits on a saddle, the saddle also becomes an av ha-tumah. It becomes what's called a merkav hazav. I'm not getting into all the tumah and tara halachas, but it gives the same level of tumah. But when it comes to the woman, a zava has a different wording. V'kol ha-nageh b'kol kli asher teishev alav, and any kli that the woman sits upon, yichabes b'gadav v'rachatz b'mayim tamei ad ha'aretz. Why doesn't it use the same word, rides upon? Use the word sits upon, not rides upon. So the Gemara in Pesachim says, Tanya debate Rabbi Yishmael, La'olim yisapa adam aloshem nikiya. A person should always speak in a refined way. Shehari bazav, because when it only comes to a zav, karu merkav, the Torah calls it a saddle that you ride on. Ube isha, and with the zava, karu moishav. It won't use the word saddle, because it's not as appropriate for a woman to be riding on a saddle. And Rashi says, if you she'ein hagun lahaski rechiva u pisuk raglayim be'isha. It's not appropriate to speak in a way that uses that expression of the woman on the saddle. The afal pisha b'merka b'amosha shavim shneim. Even though they're really talking about the same thing. By the way, there's a whole discussion in Ben Yehoyada. Is a woman allowed to go horseback riding? Or in England, we just say horse riding, because there's no other way that you can actually ride on the horse other than the back. But okay, that's just an interesting difference between Americans and English people. You could ride side saddle. And in fact, the Queen would ride side saddle until she was, you know, really quite old. She would ride side saddle. And all proper ladies back in the day rode side saddle. So I'm not getting into a halachic discussion about that now. One of my students was a very keen horse rider. We looked into it together and we went into those in Yanin. Whatever, that's not for now. But the question is, this is a halacha in how to speak. Yeah, the Rambam says Lashon HaKodesh is called Lashon HaKodesh because it has that refined way of speaking. Does that mean that there is a translated concept? Just like you can't even talk about a woman with trousers on, as it were, certainly you can't do it. Or do you turn around and say, well, no, the two things have got nothing to do with each other. Nevertheless, many of the poskim seem to bring this into the area of trousers as well, and says, just like you can't speak of it, then there is an object to a prohibition for a woman to wear trousers because of that. I brought you Rashi number 14 and said, this idea is even for the men in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, not only did the Kohanim have to wear pants, but you weren't allowed to have steps. going up to the Mizbeach. Why not? Because it's inappropriate. It would reveal their erva, these men. What do you mean it would reveal their erva, it says? They're wearing pants. Even, says Rashi, it's very Rashi and Chumash, even the step, the action of stepping that they would have to make in the Beis HaMikdash to walk up the steps would be inappropriate for the men. Interestingly, so this is an idea, a sensitivity which is there. Nevertheless, Rav Henkin says, no, this is not really a halachic issue. Why not? Look in number 15. Look at what he says in number 15. Rav Henkin wrote a number of important shuvas on this, and he says as follows. If the woman is not making a special distance between her legs, she's just walking normally. If there is a problem, a pisuk raglaim, that's not called a problem when a woman is just walking with trousers on. Even if she's wearing trousers. But if she is using inappropriate body language, harbe. How is that pisuk raglaim? That is a problem. The ainut sanua, and that's not sanua. Afilu im hi loveshit simla aruka. Doesn't matter if she's wearing a skirt. And this comes back to your question before. A skirt doesn't make everything magically fine. It depends on how your body language is, how you act, etc. And therefore, Rav Henkin is much more interested in the body language, not what you're specifically wearing. In fact, he brings a psak from his grandfather, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, in number 16. In his tshuvas, Rav Yehuda Henkin says, Sha'alti oto, number 16, I asked my grandfather, im mutter le'isha lilbos michnasayim, is a woman allowed to wear trousers? V'heishiv li, she'im ha'michnasayim rufuyim, if the trousers are loose, v'einu mu'udakim, and they're not tight, la'aguv to the body, einu roi b'zeh shum issa. He doesn't see any problem with this. V'ada rabbi yesh bo mishum tzniut, it may be more tzanua than an inappropriate skirt, aval im hei mu'udakim, but if they're tight, u'dvukim la'aguv, ein lilbosh otan. Now, where does that leave us, practically speaking? What have we decided so far? We've decided that Beged Ish is not probably an issue, according to most poskim. We've decided that very tight clothing is not good for men or for women. And therefore, what exactly would be the problem with a very loose-fitting trouser, like the Aladdin pants type thing that people wear? What could be the problem with that? And indeed, there are societies, especially in Israel, where the religiously sensitized women do wear those kind of, I don't know what they call them here, but you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes to the point that they might even look like a skirt until, you know, you go up close and you realize that it's... Yeah, something like that. Although that sounds a little bit kind of ancient in its Achashverosh-like in its connotations. So let's have a look. I want to bring you now what I think is the key issue here. And this is an issue flagged by Rav Nachum Rabinovich. And I purposely brought you these poskim, Rav Henkin and Rav Rabinovich, because these are the poskim much more for the modern Orthodox community and the Dati Lumi community, who is more, you know, interested in this question. It's not a chiddush for me to bring you that Rav Eliyashiv says you can't wear trousers. But I want to show you where the line, if you like, of the halacha is, according to the poskim who are most inclined, if you like, to say, well, maybe there are grounds to say yes. So let's have a look on page number 5. Bigger question, what exactly is tzniut? People throw around this word. Well, this is sanua, that's not sanua. And we know that in the society in which we live in, people produce these vast lists, you know, that came down, as it were, from Sinai, that these shaitels are good, these shaitels are bad, these skirts are fine, these skirts are wrong, this is right. There was an advert in Hamodia recently that someone must have paid a very large amount of money for, just displaying if you're going to wear a bag, you have to wear it this way, and you can't wear it that way. Okay? Like, I honestly, personally, if I had that amount of money to put into a Jewish cause, I would have chosen a different one. But okay, where are those rules coming from? Are they coming from anywhere? And this is one of the things I think that bothers people about tzniut. It's that these rules seem to just come like out of nowhere. So actually, they are rooted in something called Dat Yehudit, which I spoke about a little bit when I did the book launch. But have a look here in number 17, very briefly. The Gemara says, Eli Yosef Shaloi Biksuva. Certain women lose their ketubah. How does this work? So when a man and a woman get married, so the rabbis instituted that he has to write her a ketubah. Why? Even though the Torah says what he has to do in order to be a good husband, and therefore if he doesn't do that later in life, she should be able to wave a chumash in his face and say, look, Shmerel, this, you're not treating me like a proper husband should. Sadly, the rabbis are realistic, the Torah is optimistic, and the rabbis are more realistic, and the rabbis say, waving a chumash in his face might not do it, which is sad but true. But if you have a piece of paper, document that he signed, you can say, listen, You sign this, you've got to treat me right. So, okay, if he doesn't treat her right, she's entitled to a divorce, and she gets her ksuba. But if she undermines the marriage, then they're entitled to divorce, and she doesn't get her ksuba. So look what it says in number 17, the Mishnah. There's something called Dat Moshe, and there's Dat Yudit. If she breaches either of these, she could lose her ketubah. What is Dat Moshe? She gives him food which is not tithed, meaning she's feeding him tray food. She says, don't worry, darling, the food is all kosher, but she's lying to him, and the food is not kosher. She says she's going to the mikveh, but she's not really going to the mikveh. Interestingly, these examples don't say things like she's not keeping Shabbos. If she's not keeping Shabbos, that's a problem, but that's not a problem for them. It's a problem for her. But if she's undermining the trust of the marriage, that's a problem for them. That's a problem for the marriage. These are examples of Dat Moshe. Go to the second line. Ve'ezohi Dat Yehudit. What is Dat Yehudit? Yotze v'rosha parua, she goes out without her hair properly covered. Tava v'shuk, she goes to weaves in the marketplace, which the Gemara explains that her sleeves are all dropping down, so her arms are showing. She does this frequently. Medaberet in kol adam, she's flirty with all the guys. Abba Shaul ame afa mekalelet yoladav befanav. Or even a woman who curses his parents in front of his face. Okay, there's lots sorts of interesting marital problems going on there. But this is a category called Dat Yehudit. Now, there's a relatively short objective list. The Mishnah says this, 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 and this. That's Dat Yehudit. And the Tosefta adds a few more examples. But what about everything else? Is there any subjective category? And this is what's absolutely fascinating. Because if you look here, Rashi and the Rambam, 19 and 20, both say, Dat Yehudit Rashi, Shenahagu b'nois Yisrael af agav delo ksiva. This is the minhag, this is the custom of Jewish women, even though it doesn't have a written source. Ditto, the Rambam says, number 20, Ezehu Dat Yehudit. What is Dat Yehudit? The Jewish rules. Dat just means rules, Yehudit means the Jewish rules. Who minhag had sniut shenahagu benot Yisrael. Minhagim. Meaning there's an entire rubric of minhag that goes into the details of sniut. What does that mean? It means apart from this objective list, which is the same for everybody, there is a subjective societal norm where the women in that society can decide for themselves, not the men telling the women what to do. If the men write a list, the women may do this, this, and this, or even if the Rebbetzin writes a list, that's not called sniut, that's called a dress code. Which is fine, if you want to live in an institution with a dress code, you can do that. You know, an institution needs a dress code, stated or unstated. Societies, some of them people like to live in a regulated society. Fine, if you want to live in that society, that's fine. But that don't call that sniut, that's called a dress code. Sniut has to come from the women themselves. The women have to decide. In our society, we feel this is appropriate, but this not. So, for example, in broad strokes, the women in the yeshivish community, whatever that means, may have decided that when they go out walking in the street, they feel that it's dignified and appropriate to be wearing stockings. Okay, fine. But the women in other communities may say, okay, you feel that, but we feel that, you know, as long as the skirt covers the knee, we don't feel the stockings is required. You can just have sandals on and that's fine. These women are not being more or less religious than the other women. They're just having different applications of this minhag. Just like I'm an Ashkenazi, even though I don't look it, I'm Ashkenazi and I don't eat rice on Pesach. I am no more religious than my Sephardi neighbor who does eat rice on Pesach. Oh, I don't eat rice and you do. Come on, that's not chumrah. That's not more and less. That is just, this is my minhag, this is your minhag. And my minhag binds me. If I decide, you know, I don't care, I'm eating rice this Pesach, I have broken a binding minhag. So too, if a woman who belongs to a society where this is accepted, but this is not, she can't just say, well, I don't care about that. If it's a rule of the society, if it's a Dat Yehudit, she can say, I don't want to be in this society, I want to be in a different one. That's okay. But she can't just turn around and say no. And men have this as well. You know, there are certain societies where the men wear white shirts, long sleeves, etc. I don't think that's just, you know, dress code. I think there's an element, if I walked into Meisha Aron wearing a Hawaiian shirt, you know, to maybe not as a visitor or as a you know, just as a tourist, but I go to live there. I've moved in and I say, hey, my style is kind of a Hawaiian shirt and shorts, and that's my style. That's who I am. I don't think that's appropriate. There's a lack of tsniut there. It's not just that you're not following the crowd. No, that's, we don't consider that sanua in that society, whereas somewhere else will be fine. I sometimes give an example. Is it sanua for the rav of a community to go jogging in the park wearing sweatpants? And the argument is, or the answer is rather, in certain communities, it's a scandal. Can you imagine? The rav is wearing sweatpants and jogging in the park? It's a shanda. And in other communities, it's the rav leads the way. We're gonna go jogging with the rav. They're gonna have a whole campaign, jog with rav, you know. And they're all gonna be down there in their sweatpants.
He's struggling.
Meaning it depends. You can't lay down a rule. It depends on the minhagim of that community. And therefore, Rav Rabinovich says, when it comes to pants, this is the real issue, not the beged-ish issue or the issues we've discussed before. Says number 21. Look at number 21. See the Rasiach Nachum. Number 21. Lefikach, Michnasayim Shehem Miyuchadim Lenashim. If the pants are specific to women, that gets rid of the Begedish problem. Vehem Snuim, and they're not too tight and body hugging, which gets rid of the other problem. Im Hadavar Mekubel B'Yishuv She'at Gara Bo. He's addressing a woman. If this is an accepted practice in your community, Hadavar Mutar, then it's fine. Tunica, and what about this tunic? Al hamechnasayim, women might want to wear a little sort of tunic on those pants. Ima kisui mechase etrov hayerech, if it comes down to sort of halfway down the upper leg. Harize a raglay mechusot, then the legs are considered covered because you're wearing pants as well. Va'afachelika elyon shel haregel mechusa kedmut hachatzait, like a skirt. In that sense, v'harize levush tanua. That's fine. So he says, I've got no problem as a rav, as halachic pasak, with you wearing baggy pants and a tunic that covers down to halfway on the leg. That's tanua. Omnam, however, im at holechet lemakom bo davar einu mukubal. But if you go visit a place where this is not okay, this is not accepted, ukugain she'at nosat lehit areach, you go to be a guest somewhere for Shabbos, b'yishuv shesham einu agot lalechkach, where the women do not accept that, min haroy lechabed et darkei halavush ba'otu makom. You should be mindful of the respectful of the minhagim of that community. We'll see where he gets this from. This is a bona fide halach in Shas. And then he says, "B'inyanim shalavush yesh dvarim shehem halachot." When it comes to dress, there are certain things which are halachot, which from this I understand he means like objective, black and white halachot, like begedish, if it's objective. V'yesh dvarim shehem minhagim, but there are minhagim shenigbaim al yedei dfusim chevratiim shel zmanu makom. They are not just like, oh, my minhag is to eat bagels and lox on a Sunday. That's take it or leave it minhag. It's not really a minhag. It's a bit like my minhag is I can't eat rice on Pesach. It's a binding minhag for the people in that time and that place. Bichlal be'inyanit sniut b'malbushim al lo la'adam la'hamid edak rak al shurat adin. A person should never, when trying to work out sniut, just think of it as black and white rules. Ela min haroy l'chabed et minhagi amakom. You have to understand and respect the minhagim of the place. Shel chaver shomrei Torah u'mitzvah aleihu hu ratzon lishtayach, to which you want to belong. And therefore he says, my whole psak on pants is entirely dependent on the issue of dat yehudit, of minhag amakom. Now this is very interesting, because the Gemara, which I brought you in 22, the Mishnah in fact, says, what if you have a minhag and you go visit a place with a different minhag? Do you change into them? And the Gemara is very clear, which is, if you go there to stay, then you become one of them. But if you go there to visit, then you stay you, but you adjust in order to avoid machlokas. You're still you, you don't turn into one of them, but you're a visitor, so you don't have to change into them, but you have to avoid machlokas. And it applies this to the halacha of whether you work on Erev Pesach in the morning. Erev Pesach in the afternoon, which was the time of the Korban Pesach, everybody had a minhag, they didn't work. But in the morning, some places did work, and some places didn't work. And therefore the Gemara discusses, what if I go from place A to place B? So let's translate that into Dat Yehudit. Let's say you have a group of girls that, you know, come from, I don't know, Teaneck, and they go to visit Meir Sha'arim for Shabbos. Do they have to get dressed up like the local girls? No, that's called Purim. You know? Oh, braided hairs and button-down shirts. That's a joke. You don't have to look like... They have to look like themselves, but adjusted in whatever way is necessary to avoid machlokas. And the locals don't expect them to look like the locals. They just expect them to look whatever is considered respectable.
Probably more annoyed by
Yeah, of course they would be. Like, you're making fun of us. So too, if a group of girls from Meir Shearim go visit Teaneck, I don't think they have to turn into the locals. They dress how they dress. They're themselves. They're probably not going to upset anybody. But if they will, they have to adjust a bit. But if they go there to stay, let's say these girls from Teaneck say, you know something, this Shabbos in Meir Shearim blew me away. I realize now Teaneck is behind me. Bergenfield is behind me. I just want Geula and Meir Shearim. That's for me. Okay, so now you're a local. Now you've got to turn into a local. Okay, you can adjust for your own individual slightly style, but you are a local. So too the other way around. And it works for men. Let's say a guy from Meir Shearim goes to Kibbutz Lavi for Shabbos. He doesn't have to dress like a kibbutznik. He can dress like he dresses. He's not going to upset anybody. They have a hotel. They know there are guests. But if he decides to stay, you know, the kibbutz life is for him, and he just wants to be a chaver kibbutz, I don't think he can walk around dressed like the Kohen Gadol every Shabbos. When maybe he doesn't have to wear a kavod temple and shorts for mincha. Okay, there's a way, but he can't just stick out that way. That's a lack of tzniut. And therefore, Rabinovich says that unless it's accepted within the frum observant society of women, the trousers are okay. Then they're not okay. And therefore, I think in certain communities in Israel, maybe it's okay what he said because they have that minhag. But in as far as I can see, in almost every religious observant community in Chutz La'aretz, there isn't a minhag that is accepting of trousers, and therefore that's going to be the real major problem as to whether pants are going to be okay or not okay. And if that minhag evolves, okay, then we can discuss more. Okay, the last few things. Go on to page 6. But I think this Dat Yehudi point is the key point, and often the one that doesn't get discussed. I brought you finally, or almost finally, a piece from Rav Getzel Ellinson. Two other more hashkafic suggestions. He wants to say that a skirt for a girl is like a kippah for a guy. Okay, look what he says. Number 23. To a certain extent in the last few decades, he's writing in the 80s, the skirt has become a sort of yarmulke. You can tell it's the 1980s. Who calls it a yarmulke anymore? For the scrupulously observant girl who strives to follow our sages' ethical guidelines, as reflected in the halachic rulings. By her refusal to wear trousers, she demonstrably declares that she's unwilling to resign herself to the dictates of modern style, and that she takes exception to the immorality so rampant these days in society at large. For the modest young woman who comes into contact with society in the context of her daily work or study, this last factor has special import. Such girls surely need a constant reminder they do not identify with the values and lifestyle of their surroundings. Okay, that's not a halachic point, but it's an interesting point. I must tell you, as a lawyer, I always wore a kippah at work, and for me, it was actually very helpful. It didn't hold back my legal career at all. Maybe it would have done 30 years earlier, but in the 90s, it was fine. And it helped people decide which things they asked me to go, and which places thing to do, and which places they asked me to go, and which clients they asked me to entertain, and in which ways. The fact that I was wearing a kippah was a major symbol, which I think was very important. It could be, he says here, the skirts are the same. Okay, you can take that or leave it. I think it has merit, but it's a hashgraphic point. Rabbi Bleich, I haven't brought Rabbi Bleich for a while. Looking at number 24. While there is little doubt that in many instances the type of slacks currently in vogue do not conform with halachic norms of modest dress, he says too tight, whatever, it is difficult to argue that this must necessarily always be the case. It's difficult to agree that this must necessarily always be the case. Meaning, is it always going to be also for slacks to be worn? For example, an ensemble including slacks designed to be worn under a long, modestly cut tunic, quote here Rav Rabinowitz, does not appear to be inherently immodest. It appears to this writer that the wearing of slacks by students attending institutions of Jewish learning and others identified as standard bearers of Jewish observance poses the possibility of a quite different transgression. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis presents a detailed discussion of the garb appropriate for a Talmid Chacham. It's interesting. A Torah scholar is forbidden to wear gaudy or ostentatious clothes, or garments which are demeaning in nature. It is quite evident that the term Talmid Chacham in this context does not refer exclusively to one who has excelled in scholarship, but to anyone who is viewed by the public as a member of the scholarly community. It's very important. If you are an observant Jew today, you have the din of a Talmid Chacham in the eyes of the wider community. It would seem that the dictum, the wife of a scholar is a scholar, is applicable with regard to these provisions. The governing concern is that those viewed as exemplars of Torah study, whether male or female, comport themselves in a way which enhances rather than detracts from the honor and esteem in which Torah is held. Hence, it would seem that as long as slacks are viewed as improper attire by significant segments of the Jewish community, the wearing of such garb by those charged with the bearing of the banner of Torah should not be sanctioned. Interesting point. Again, a different point. A point which is that you represent Torah, therefore you have to dress as someone who represents Torah. Again, you can think about that, see how it works. Just one word at the end. I've got to finish because I've just got a minute about ski pants and scrubs. I brought you a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak is actually a continuation of the tshuva we saw before. He said, they asked me about ski pants. He says, now in theory, this should fall under the machlokas that we said last week, which is if you're wearing one piece of clothing to protect from the elements, according to some it's fine, according to some it's not. So in theory, that should be the same for ski pants. He says, but I don't think it is, because when it comes to hot weather or cold weather, you can't change the weather. If it's raining, it's raining. But when it comes to skiing, he says, why do you need to go skiing in the first place? It's an interesting. And he ends with a slogan. I love this. Look at the last four words. He says, Lotiglosh, Velotilbosh. I can see that in banners. Don't ski and don't have a shiloh. Now, okay, this is very societal. To some women, you could turn around and say, like, why do you need to go skiing? To other people, it's like saying, why do I need a vacation at all? Skiing's part of my life. You know, my machatzonim are Italians. Like, skiing is in their blood. They live in the Alps, you know? So I think that this argument is very dependent on the community. And there are rabbonim that say the ski pants are okay. There are others that say you should wear something a little like a tunicky thing over them. But you can actually get a ski skirt as well. I've never tried one, but you can get them. When it comes to, and it's preferable if you can, for sure. And I don't think it's actually that hard to fall over in the snow wearing a ski skirt. Again, I've never tried it, but you can get them. And the issue of slacks, there's more to talk about, because hospitals are obviously doing this. Sorry, scrubs. Hospitals are doing this for, you know, sterility purposes. There is an option to wear a scrub skirt in many cases. And there are hospitals in which they allow this, and there are hospitals in which they just won't allow you to do this. Clearly, scrubs are designed for utilitarian purposes and therefore would fall in principle under this heter. There are posts that say, well, if you can wear overall thing that doctors wear over it, that's a lot better. But that depends on an individual shiloh. There are some things which it's more tsanua to do in scrubs than in a skirt, depending on what exactly you're doing and how you're doing it. So that's an individual shiloh rather than a general, but I put a note about it at the end. Speak to doctors and they'll tell you how they address this. So I hope you felt that was interesting. I think that societally, these questions are fascinating, and they do raise these rather difficult lines as to how you're going to define this. Next week, we're actually going to turn to something completely different. I was thinking of talking about smoking, but I think smoking is going to have to wait. So don't smoke between now and next week. Next week, we're going to talk more about a Shavuot-focused topic, which is more related to Torah Misinai. What exactly is Torah Misinai and Torah Min HaShamayim? It's going to be lots of interesting things to talk about. Not cheesecake, I'm sorry. Okay. The links between cheesecake and Shavuos we'll have to think about another time. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll leave it there for now. We'll reconvene next week, please God.